This episode of WTF Landier Radio Show is not brought to you by the World Economic Forum, WEF, but the members of the World Economic Forum are gathering to bring about the abilities to create a phenomenal world. What is the phenomenal world that we are looking into? Well, join the conference in Davos, Switzerland. Maybe you can get on the guest list of the World Economic Forum, WTF and WEF, not in collaboration, but possibly in the future. The views expressed at WTF Landia are not to direct, guide, or sway public opinion. For entertainment purposes only.
You live in the West and don't have a bunker. What do you think about this? NATO has warned civilians to prepare for conflict and make sure to have equipment to survive the first 36 hours of what may come. According to the head of NATO Military Committee, Admiral Rob Bauer, it's not a given that we are in peace. And this is why NATO countries are preparing for a conflict with Russia and terror groups. The British government also confirmed that we are in a pre-war era. British Defence Minister Grant Shapps noted that the world could be engulfed by multiple wars involving Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran in the next 5 years. And the NATO has to increase its defense spending to at least 2% of national income. And just a week ago, Sweden's defense officials asked citizens to prepare for war and an end to 210 years of peace.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the Military Committee Chiefs of Defense session has just drawn to a close. We will start off this press conference with an opening statement.
We today announce the kickoff of Exercise Steadfast Defender 2024, which commences next week and runs through May. Steadfast Defender 24 will be the largest NATO exercise in decades, with participation from approximately 90,000 forces from all 31 allies, plus our good partner, Sweden. The alliance will demonstrate its ability to reinforce the Euro-Atlantic area via transatlantic movement of forces from North America. This reinforcement will occur during a simulated emerging conflict scenario against a near-peer adversary. Steadfast Defender 24 will be a clear demonstration of our unity, our strength, and our determination to protect each other, to protect, of course, our values and the rules-based international order.
Industrial base that is able to produce weapons and ammunition fast enough.
Terry, the big difference with a year ago, I would say, Terry, is that there's a lot of things that have happened in the armed forces and in the defense organizations. What hasn't happened is in our societies, the understanding that it is more.
Welcome to your WTF Landia radio show, folks. It is your girl, Char Michelle. And I hope that you are well. I hope that you are finding this podcast well, my friend. And I would like to invite you into our podcast broadcast lounge, a cozy lounge where there's jazz music floating in the background, me up on the stage, sitting on a sofa, kicked back with the mic in my hand, just chatting out with you guys, chatting it up with my friends. You can be in the audience and I'll just be, you know, that way I have a vantage point of all of you. So we can chill out and relax and talk about the hard stuff in a chill way. Because let me tell you what. Wow, folks. Did you hear that there? Well, first of all, it's your girl, Char Michelle, and I just want you to know one thing. No matter how far we get into this war, no matter how far we get into this simulation, I'm going to be here talking about it, keeping you calm, okay? And giving you the real deal, Holyfield. You can definitely count on that. You can count on me. I'll be your friend, buddies. Don't worry about it. But let's get down with the get down. And for those of us who need a little bit of history and a little bit of sociology, we're going to talk about who the NATO countries are. Okay? So that way we know what's happening. Because that's it. That there is a meeting, a NATO meeting. There you heard the commander in chiefs. From the, what this was called, the conference. This just happened today. And so it will start, this will commence, as they say, next week. And it was a small group. I'm watching the video to your audio. And a small group in a small room. And it was just a meeting that NATO is sending to the world. So, have a look at that. Go to their website and you can have a look at exactly what's happening there. I'm on the website now. And I want to give you guys just a small brief outlining of who is NATO and what we possibly are looking forward to in this assimilation that's about to kick off next week. Okay, so Albania, Belgium, Bulgaria, Canada, Croatia, Czechia, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Montenegro, Netherlands, North Macedonia, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Turkey, United Kingdom, and the United States. They're your friends. My friends, there's your NATO group. Now we should move on to what this means. 90,000 troops, which seems fairly, it seems reasonably small, right? Compared to, I guess what it could be. Could be millions. Have you seen what they got going over there in China? We'll get to that. Anyway, could be in millions. What about North Korea? I'm just sure they're ready to bust out of their country. They haven't been anywhere. They're like, why not? North Korea. Okay. Anyways. I'm going to try to hold it together for this one. NATO is braced for, in my opinion, an all-out war. And that is also the opinion of many folks who have listened to that with clear ears that they have cleaned out with cotton swabs, Q-tips. Right? NATO braced for all-out war with Russia in the next 20 years. Well, if it's going to start and we're going to do an assimilation that's going to last till May, it might. Hey, if you're going to do an assimilation, why don't you just try a little bit of realness? Just have a couple of Russian troops come over and see a couple of the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, North Korea, the other five that have been aligned. Just see if they can send a couple of their troops, 90,000 to 90,000. Let's see what happens. Yeah, this isn't sounding good. I feel like this happened before. I feel like when the Russian invasion happened, they claimed to be doing a military exercise too. Remember when that Russian invasion happened after the Spanish flu in, the early 1920? 100 years ago, 1918, Russian war was start. Russian Revolution was happening. Yeah, just right. 1918, 19. Anyways, This is interesting. And also, they spelled NATO backwards, which makes me figure that, you know, that's a little bit of a interesting kerfuffle. If you hold a mirror to it, it'll say NATO, but it says NATO and OTAN, which feels a little Satan-y for me. I think those people, those Satanists, they spell things backwards, and I don't know. Now, look, this podcast is going to be mixed with clear thought and a couple tinfoil hat thoughts. See? Backwards. Anyways. I think they forgot, though, that when they say assimilation, like, didn't the World Economic Forum claim to be having a assimilation of a certain outbreak just before COVID came up on the scene, wreck shop, took people out and left, flying its little batty wings out the door or whatever? Like, it's interesting. The world is, what are the people going to do here? And this is why I'm starting to understand why the underground bunkers are such a thing. Rick Ross built an underground bunker. He's like, I've got wings in my underground bunker. Okay. Like, seriously, if you have to go underground to hide, you know, no matter how vast and sprawling it is in your plans, you have plans for it. I don't think your plans are going to plan out. Because here's the thing about plans. You can prepare all you might, but never make a plan. Plans can fall short. Look what happened when COVID rolled up. People had planned to go take vacations. People had planned to do this, and then they got locked indoors for almost a year. Remember that? In weird circumstances with weird people. I'll never forget COVID. My life was turned upside down like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I had never been more shocked and flabbergasted in my life. Oh my goodness. So this is the thing. This is why I think they're doing this. NATO's doing this simulation. First of all, if you read that list of countries off to me, I'm not scared if I'm Russia, India, China, South Africa, North Korea, or any of them. Those guys have way bigger weapons, I think. And I don't know what they're making over in Sweden, but everybody on that list is nice. Canada's nice. Have you seen our prime minister run over here in Canada? This guy just search a video. You'll never unsee it. Oh, yeah. We're not scary. Okay? So, I think that it's going to be a cataclysmic problem for the North. The top defense chief just told us that, you know, we got to prepare for an all-out war with Russia. Russia's knee-deep in their bombs over in Ukraine. You don't think that's, you know, sorted out? First of all, no one has an endless supply of bombs. I know this for sure. Here, check it out. You know, I watch my money go in and I watch it come out. And it doesn't go on forever, right? It just doesn't. You got to make more. So unless they have people making a ton of bombs as they are, this war has been going on with Ukraine for what, almost 2 years now? How long have we been at this thing, chipping at the buck, funneling our weaponry over there too? Everybody's been funneling their stuff over to Ukraine to protect that, you know, little dicey dictator they got going over there with Slovensky. Not that he's a dictator, but he's interesting. It's weird. It just feels like a lot of money laundering, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I feel like we need to keep our money, keep our weapons to ourselves. This is not the time to share. Sharing is not caring. Sharing is, well, making us very vulnerable. I feel vulnerable these days. I feel vulnerable in a lot of ways. One, and I don't at the same time, but hear me out. One, I feel vulnerable because, well, you don't know what's in the water. There's these stickers that say 15-minute cities poking up around my city. And if you're not a maniac, maniacal slug body, then you want nothing to do with the 15-minute city because you don't like everybody in those 15-minute city. But some people do because they're maniacs and they're bottom-feeding goober-gobbers. But you know what? I'm not into it. You C40s, you can take your C40 city and shove it up your tangle. If you get my drift, you hot-bodied, booty-cheek, grubby dubsters. Ah! This is how I feel. See how uncomfortable that made? See how uncomfortable that sounded? That's exactly how uncomfortable I feel about it. Because I feel like I am one thing about you, girl, is I'm all about positive change. There's no doubt. But I'm also about people making the decisions to be involved in the change based on what their capacity is. Not based on what we are telling people to do. You can travel, you know, one flight every 3 years. That prevents a lot of people's work and a lot of people's joy. And actually, it's just nonsense. That can't be a new law that gets normal unless an all-out war breaks out and the people with those old ideas and thoughts of being able to travel are taken away. And then you've knocked off much of the population, which is, I think, the idea, right? When you go to war, this population decreased. It'll happen naturally. And then you can start up a whole new breed of pod babies or babies that don't really care to travel anywhere, right? They've got their, you know, their bodies retrofitted with microchips and they can be, you know, in essence, driven around everywhere, told what to go, told where to go, no parents, no protest, no fight. This is what this world seems to be coming to. And this is the uncomfortable part of it, except for this. If you're not concerned with the things of this world because you are a God girl. Now, I want to say this because I don't want to stick around this mud hole and talk about the dangers that's to come. You know? This is the starkest warning yet about this assimilation that's happening. And that was, again, Admiral Rob Bauer. He's a chairman of NATO Military Committee. And he urged both civilians and governments to prepare for cataclysmic conflicts and the chilling prospect of being conscripted. This is wild, right? It says, he also goes on to say after that, we need public and private actors to change their mindset for an era in which everything was plannable, foreseeable, controllable, and focused on efficiency to an era in which anything can happen at any time. If that doesn't make people who like to plan uncomfortable, I don't know what does. That's what I say. Prepare all you might, but never make a plan. Don't. You would be very much letting yourself down. That's what Bauer warned. He's like, just, you know, let's listen to him a little bit more. Let's listen to a little bit more of what he has to say.
In the armed forces and in the defense organizations, what hasn't happened is in our societies, the understanding that it is more than the military that has to be able to operate in a conflict or in a war. It is the whole of society that will get involved, whether we like it or not. That realization, we didn't talk about that much a year ago. If you look back the last year, what has happened in our alliance with regard to the battle groups that we set up, if you look back to the training, the fact that we now have Steadfast Defender with 90,000 troops, that is a record number. That is a record number of troops that we can bring to bear and have an exercise with in that size. Across the alliance, across the ocean, from the U.S. to Europe, in Europe. That is a big change.
That is a big change. That is absolutely a big change. Unless 90,000 troops seems like a piss in the bucket to China. Isn't China got a 1 million man army or some or more? Obviously, we know that. Listen, My kids got friends here that are of Chinese origin, okay? And I've got their friends as their mothers as my friends. And we talk. And they say, "Hey, you know, by the time they're 18, 19, they got to go back to China and they have to serve for 2 years or more." Some. Now, for the longest time, China has not been at war, but it doesn't mean that they have not been planning. Everybody in North and also in Korea, you have to go before you're age 25. You have to go and enlist in the war. Everybody needs to know how to fight. No one's out there willy-nilly wearing skinny jeans, changing the adverbs right now. They're not doing it there. And that's not to clown y'all. It's just to speak what's true. They're not doing that. They're focused on if the conflict happens. And if the conflict happens, the least of your worries and be what you call yourself, what you identify with, is going to be go get the military gear on and get to war. That's the thing. But everybody likes a quirk in America, so everybody's probably going to be, I have us bone spurs, like DJT. Or identify with being a chick. Can't go to war. Well, they said they don't care what you identify with. But Biden wrote something into law just recently. You can identify with being a tire, and you're still going to war as long as you got a heartbeat. Go Biden. You guys voted for him, okay? Don't talk. Don't blame me. Is that guy even real? I can't figure it out. Anyway, so this is what we're looking at, folks. And more importantly, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Red Sea, Pakistan. There's more missiles floating around them, around that part of the world right now than the whole world. Don't look forward to 2020 or 20 years. Sorry. It's going down. It's happening now. In Iraq, a suicide drone landed near the U.S. base yesterday, and a missile attack on alleged mosque headquarters on Monday. Did you know that? It landed near U.S. base. And that's probably a comfortable term just because they don't want to get everybody all shook if it landed at the U.S. base. But I digress. In Syria, missile strikes targeted ISIS terrorists in response for suicide bombing in Iran. Israel, Iranian-backed Hezbollah, continued to fire missiles into Israel as the country battles pro-Iran Hamas terrorists in Gaza. This is all happening right now, by the way, folks. At the Red Sea, Iran-backed Houthi rebels have launched missiles against Western shipping from bases in Yemen. That involves the U.S., if you ask me. Pakistan, Iranian drones and missiles struck targets in Balochistan, prompting retaliatory strike from Pakistan. There are bombs over the Middle East. Not just Baghdad, baby. Not just Baghdad this time. And Russia and North Korea are trying to figure out how, they can band together while NATO bands together. This is true. North Korea and Putin are buddying up. And to be honest, those guys, and now I must say, what's his name? The North Korean guy. He didn't look scary. But the fact that he doesn't look scary, it makes him more scarier because he's built like a bomb in a bad habit. He's built like his fingers on the trigger. Like if you clown him, if you make a joke about him, that finger's on the trigger. And he did say that he does have missiles that can reach the Western countries, the Western world. America, aka. This is scary. And also, the senior Dutch military boss added, you need to be able to fall back on an industrial base that is able to produce weapons and ammunition fast enough to be able to continue conflict if you're in it. See, this is what I'm saying. There we go. That just answered, like, look, you have to be, unless they can print these out in a factory in China, which I would not imagine that they couldn't do that. Have you seen Alibaba? Alibaba probably prints nuclear missiles. AliExpress, you can probably order nuclear, Xi Jinping, you can probably order some missiles off of AliExpress to get there, well, 90 days or more, but it'll probably, oh, right, it's in the country. Should probably get there in 10 days. I'm sure they got the 3D printers to print them things. Come on, man. Technology has advanced. Technology has advanced. This is getting real. America is not China. That's why we gave all the work to China. We trusted. We trusted our allyship. We trusted our if anything, not our allyship. We trusted our business relationship. And now that goes to heck because money's going to become obsolete. And the U.S. dollar, they want to upend and destroy to take the power away from America. Babylon, baby, it's time to get, you know, real. And it's no longer about being, you see, cordial to keep your business relationship intact. They don't care about that no more. They come in for power. Isn't that what it sounds like, my friends? Not to worry. Don't you skivvy in your boots. It's all part of the plan. Adam Bauer also praised Sweden for urging all of its city to brace for a war ahead of the nation joining NATO. And that happened last week. The Swedes were in the store shopping till they dropping. And they're pretty calm people. They're kind and calm and cute. There's like Swedish Fashion Week happening. Look, there's a reason why I'm not signed to any agencies over in Europe yet. God's got a bigger plan. I feel like Fashion Week might be on the back burner here pretty soon. You see, walking on a warship to deliver the next missile into the pipe. You praise your country for telling your citizens to get war? Our country hasn't. They haven't said anything. They're like, just, you know, oblivious. Oblivion is the mother of non-chaos. If you don't want your citizens to get crazy and get weird, you would just keep it to ourselves. Just go for a jog and make people look at that, not look at what's really in front of us. This is comes as NATO is planning to mobilize the troops, 90,000 troops, with a war games aimed at deterring Vladimir Putin from targeting member countries. But see, Vladimir Putin doesn't want that one world order, and I think that that's what's really the get down to the get down. I think he's one of the guys that's not really for everybody falling under some sort of one world order. It takes away his power, right? And then logically speaking, he's not messing with raping Africa and all that like everybody else is. He's just kind of like the guy who has been painted out to be the bad guy that maybe isn't the bad guy that people think. I'm not sure, but this is what I'm reading. Don't ask me what I think about Putin. I think all these guys have a time limit and their decisions are lasting. Don't ask me what I think about Biden. Well, you can. I don't think he's real. Is that real? What is that? Well, no one's heard from Jill Biden. You know, but I don't even know what that is. What's going on? She's a teacher, too. She never speaks. I never hear Jill talk. It's so interesting. Michelle used to talk all the time. Anyways, the exercise is called, it's dubbed as Steadfast Defender, and it will run until May, as you heard there, and it will involve units from all 31 NATO member countries, plus candidate member Sweden. And, the war games are meant to as a fresh show of strength, and it's, look, as they have started their war games, they missed a major target recently, too. We should talk about that. Because I think, why do we say so much? Sometimes we should keep it to ourselves, I feel like, right? Sometimes we should just keep certain topics and discussions to ourselves. It says, NATO may be stronger and more focused than it has been since the Cold War. But 2024 will see it miss the mother of all targets as it struggles with the return of major war to Europe. Almost 10 years ago in the shadow of Russian annexation of Crimea. and the formation of armed rebellion in Ukraine's eastern Donbas region, NATO leaders met in Wales and set their sights on a new target by 2024. They said members would work towards spending 2% of their GDP on their militaries, and they did. And now that, we have that money spent on militaries taken away from schools, we're not going to need schools. It's no wonder teachers are being fired or not paid much, because... Look, man, let me tell you guys this. If the viruses don't come and wipe everybody out, you know, you can't, the war is. It's going to do it. They got this disease X popping. Go check that podcast out. They have a lot of things happening in and around this vicinity of life that we should keep our focus on. But most importantly, we should focus on Jesus, because I'm about to read you guys Jeremiah 50. I've been talking to y'all about it. I just never read it. And I'm not sure you guys are going back to read it yourself. So, yeah, I think we should do it right now. Oh, hold that thought. Welcome to WTFlandia halftime show. Press pause and go ahead and grab your favorite snack and your most tasty drink, and we'll meet you back here in just a few. Okay. Welcome back. I hope that you have quenched your thirst. I certainly have. I put my coffee into the microwave to warm it up because it was lukewarm. Hot or cold? Lukewarm. I spit you out. That's a quote taken from my father in heaven. Period. And I get it. Lukewarm coffee is no good. Lukewarm people are no good either. They don't have an opinion. They don't have a direction. But I digress. That coffee went down the back of my throat and burned a hole in it. Ah! I gotta get through this podcast, though. So let's get to it. Jeremiah 50 was where we were about to jump into and just see if it is applicable. Maybe it's an assimilation of what's to come. I'm not gonna read the whole thing because it's quite long. Or maybe I will. Either way, brace for what is to come. Read it yourself, because I don't want you to take my word for it. The Bible, it doesn't need me to philosophize it. It just needs you to read it and you just say, Lord, what does this mean? Is this what I think it means? I always replace Babylon with America, but you can do you. All right. So look, yeah. When you hear Babylon, just think America. In my opinion. But you can place whatever there, okay? Because, you know, the Bible is of age. All right, message about Babylon. That's the title of Jeremiah 50. And this is in the Bible. This is in the New International Version. All right, this is the word the Lord spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. This is a prophecy, by the way. Jeremiah was a prophet. He wrote a book full of prophecies. 50-something pages. Or chapters of Jeremiah to get through. And 52 pages or 52 chapters of Jeremiah. So you get to it. Very important, very potent about the times that we're living in. Okay, this is the word the Lord spoke to through Jeremiah the prophet. Through Jeremiah the prophet. See, God spoke. What are prophets? Before we jump into this, prophets are messengers of God. God gives them, and they spend time with God. They spend time, let's say, in a sabbatical, praying, hearing, and listening for the voice of God. Okay, for you non-religious folks, you non-believer folks, that there you don't believe in, there's a spiritual component to things. You don't believe that there's a God. Well, this is what people who do believe in God and believe that there is a spiritual component to life. Understand that, you know, as you fast and as you pray and as you submit and as you figure out what your call is here in life, some people in Christ followers are prophets, some people are teachers, some people are preachers, some people are evangelists. your girl Shawn Michelle. And some people are, you know, various other members of the body of Christ, right? So this is a prophet. A prophet is, gets a message from God, and the job of the prophet is to deliver the message so that they can, people can understand what's coming, so they can be guided in certain directions, because God can't, is not here to come down and talk to himself. His spirit, his words, whether it's through dreams, whether it's through visions, whether, however the prophecies come about, and they happen. Prophets are, some people are dreamers, some prophets are dreamers, some people, some prophets see visions, and some prophets hear the subtle voice of God through their spirit, through their heart, and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to give you guys a little understanding of what prophecy is and who prophets are. So in biblical terms, Jeremiah was a prophet who heard the voice of God and got the message from God, and therefore wrote the chapter in Jeremiah to share with those of us who are reading it now and who've read it before, of what's to come. Okay, so this is the word of the Lord. Again, this is titled Message About Babylon, Message About America. Just, you know, it's just, it's funner to read it that way. Okay, this is the word the Lord spoke through Jeremiah the prophet concerning Babylon and the land of the Babylonians, Americans. Announce and proclaim among the nations, like lift up a banner and proclaim it. Keep nothing back, but say, Babylon will be captured. Baal will be put to shame. Murdoch filled with terror. Her images will be put to shame, and her idols filled with terror. A nation from the north will attack her and lay waste her land. No one will live in it. Both men and animals will flee away. In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah together will go in tears and to seek the Lord their God. And they will ask the way to Zion and turn their faces toward it. They will come, bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. Many people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. Pastors leading their T.D. Jakes shepherd, leading the sheep astray by maybe nefarious activities. I'm not sure, but this is to give you guys an idea. When they say shepherd and sheep, shepherds are people who lead a church, let's say, right? They're supposed to lead their sheep, which are the congregation, the people who go to church, back to Jesus, back to the understanding, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay. So many people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountain and hill and forgot their resting place. Whoever found them devoured them. And their enemies said, we are not guilty, for they sinned against the Lord, their true pastor. And the Lord, the hope of their fathers, flee out of Babylon, leave the land of the Babylonians, and be like the goats that led the flock. For I will stir up and bring against Babylon an alliance of great nations from the land of the north. This is where it gets good, people. They will take up their positions against her. Her is Babylon. And from the north, she will be captured. Their arrows will be like skilled warriors. Bombs. And who do not return empty. Oh, sorry. The arrows will be like skilled warriors who do not return empty handed. So Babylonia will be plundered. All who plunder her will leave, will have their fill, declares the Lord. Because you rejoice and are glad, you who pillage my inheritance, because you frolic like a heifer threshing grain and neigh like stallions, your mother will be greatly ashamed. She who gave you birth will be disgraced. She will be the least of all nations. America, listen up. A wilderness, a dry land, a desert, because of the Lord's anger, she will not be inhabited. What's going on in Babylon right now? I mean, America. From the agenda to what they're teaching in school, the chaos, the pure just chaos, the confusion, the they're just going, what's happening is we're moving away from what God deems is the way to be, the way to live. Man and women, man and wife, marriage and children. We're just changing genders. We're just saying it's okay that kids can chop off their private parts to become what they think they want to become. God says you touch the children, It's better if you tie a noose around your neck and drown yourself in the depths of the sea. The Bible gets real gully if you read it. It is not to play with. But I digress. Let me get back to the point. Because of the Lord's anger, she will not be inhabited, but be completely desolate. All who pass Babylon will be horrified and scoffed because of all of her wounds. Take up your positions around Babylon. All you who draw the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her on every side. She surrenders. Her towers fall down. Her walls are torn down. Since the vengeance of the Lord, take vengeance on her. Do to her as she has done to others. Ooh, my goodness. Cut off Babylon from the sower. Cut off Babylon the sower, and the reaper with the sickle at the harvest. Because of the sword of the oppressors, let everyone return to his own people. It sounds like people will scatter out of America, going back to their own homes. If they can, I imagine. Let everyone flee to his own land. Israel is a scattered flock that lions have chased away. The first to devour him was the king of Assyria, and the last to crush his bones was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Therefore, this is what the Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I punished the king of Assyria, but I will bring back Israel back to its own pasture. And he will gaze on Carmel and Bashan. His appetite will be satisfied on the hills of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but none will be found. And I will forgive the remnant I spare. Wow. And it goes on to say in verse 22, the noise of the battle is in the land. The noise of great destruction How broken and shattered is the hammer of the whole earth. How desolate is Babylon among the nations. I set a trap for you, Babylon, and you were caught before you knew it. You were found and captured because you opposed the Lord. Have we stirred away from faith and belief? They're taking Bibles out of libraries and taking, you know, God out of prayers and taking, you know, they've X'd out religion and are teaching kids the LGBTQ agenda, period. This is not something that children need to be taught. This is something that should be between adults and their doctors. But here we are. This is not making the Lord happy, folks. This is my opinion. Anyways, I set a trap for you, O Babylon. You were caught before you knew it, and you were found and captured because you opposed the Lord. The Lord has opened up his arsenal and bought out the weapons of his wrath. For the sovereign Lord Almighty has work to do in the land of the Babylonians. Come against her from afar. Break open her granaries. Pile her up like heaps of grain. And also, America includes North America. Canada is doing the same thing America is doing. We must brace ourselves for the wrath of God. Because this, in my opinion, it's a portion of the game we're in. And again, this is not me philosophizing this. This is not me writing this. I am literally reading Jeremiah 50. If you want to look at it, pick it up yourself and read it. It's frightening, as we can tell. It says, come against her from afar. Break open her granaries. Pile her up like heaps of grain. Completely destroy her and leave her no remnant. Kill all her young bulls. Let them go down into the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day has come. The time for them to be punished. Listen to the fugitives and refugees from Babylon, declaring in Zion how the Lord our God has taken vengeance for his temple. Summon archers against Babylon, all those who draw the bow encamp all around her. Let no one escape. Repay her for her deeds. Do to her as she has done. For she has defiled the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, her young men will fall in the streets. All her soldiers will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. See? I am against you, you arrogant one. Woo! We thought we was the strongest country in the world. The strongest nation by far. The most solid dollar. You know, the most solid currency. Well, all good things come to an end, doesn't it? Sounds like it here. Anyways. See, I'm against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord Almighty, for your day has come. the time for you to be punished, the arrogant one will stumble and fall, and no one will help her up. I will kindle a fire in her towns that will consume all who are around her. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people of Israel are oppressed, and all the people of Judah are as well. All their captors hold them fast, refusing to let them go. Yet the Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is his name. He will vigorously defend her cause, and that he may bring rest to their land. But unrest to those who live in Babylon. A sword against the Babylonians, declares the Lord, against those who live in Babylon, and against her officials and wise men. Woo! You think you're wise, wise guy, until you meet God. A sword against her false prophets. They will become fools. They will be filled with terror. A sword against her warriors. They will be filled with terror. A sword against her horses and chariots, all the foreigners in her ranks. They will become women. Woo! A sword against her treasures. They will be plundered. A drought on her waters. They will dry up. For its land of idols, idols that will go mad with terror. So desert creatures and hyenas will live there. And there the owl will dwell. It will never again be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. And it makes sense, because if an all-out World War III happens on American soil, it's going to get plundered. The whole thing, you guys, this is different. This is not just going on the Gaza Strip. It's about to go up. There's already people, I believe, in place in America. There's already battle warriors, let's just call them. I think they're inside, guys. I think so. I'm not sure. So desert creatures and hyenas will live there. Okay, oops. Okay, so. Oh, yeah. They will dry up for its land of idols, idols that will go mad with terror. So desert creatures and hyenas will live there. And their owl will dwell. It will never again be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. This is my point. Thank you, Jesus. So God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? When did that happen? That happened when everybody was wilding out. Guys were sleeping with guys. There was brothels. There was bathhouses. There was, you know, unnatural sex happening all over the place. Just kind of like in the days of Noah. Same thing. Everybody was doing anything and calling it okay, calling it freedom, sexual freedom, calling it a liberation. And they were doing these sinful things that now we've wiped away and we've called them, you know, just your liberty, your freedom. You're finally free. You can just live your truth, right? Isn't that what pride is? Living your true, unique self. Well, that was what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is just a fact, okay? This is not me trying to ridicule you. If you feel a certain way about this, take it up with the Lord. But this is me sharing with you guys because I love you and I've lived a certain way and I get it. And thank God for freedom, for his grace and his mercy in salvation. Because I've walked away from a lot of debaucherish things I could have been doing in life based on sexual liberation and freedom. Come on now. I'm not immune to this. I've lived a life. Shoot, if you see me in these streets, ask me about it. But you know what I mean? So that was what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. That was what was happening in the days of Noah before the big flood came and flooded the earth. You might not believe in it. You might think it's just, a story. That the Bible is just a book of really cool, not true tales. But it's not fiction. It's very fact, in my opinion. So here we are. God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah along with their neighboring towns. So no one will live there. No man will dwell in it. And that's still very true to this day. He threw fire and brimstones out the heaven. If you go to Sodom and Gomorrah, the land that was Sodom and Gomorrah, which was a bustling, beautiful town, before they just started doing all the debaucherous stuff in the world, and God said they had enough. Lot, he sent Lot to go around the town to find just, 15 righteous people. Okay, he couldn't find 15, find 10. Okay, if you can't find 10, find 5. Okay, if he came back, God, I can't even find 5. If you can't find 5, find 1. He could not find one righteous person who was living for God, not being involved in the decrepit, nasty, deviant behaviors that were happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, with the bathhouses and sexual orgies and things that were happening, calling it liberation and freedom. And so God goes, all right, Lot, you take you and your family, you and your daughters, your wife and your kids, and you guys head on out. I'm about to destroy this place. They headed out. Lot's wife turned around. She looked at the city that she was about to leave because she wasn't ready. She kind of was going to miss it. She turned into a pillar of salt. God warned them and said, when you head out, don't look back. Lot took his family, said, don't look back. His wife turned her head. She's still a pillar of salt, apparently. I've never been over there that far in the Middle East, but the legends are true. They still find sulfur rocks that are 100%, 90%, 99% sulfur. That they've never experienced that high of a level of pure sulfur. It dropped straight down from heaven. It's all over that city, still uninhabitable. God's lie. God's words do not lie. Period. In Jesus' name. So anyways, as God overthrew Sodom, and that's even till today. No one lives in Sodom anymore. The place is still pillaged and it's still desolate. And you can still find those rocks of fire and brimstone that God rained down and destroyed everybody, everything living and breathing in that town. No one escaped. Read your Bible, folks. So no one will live there. No one will dwell in it. Look, an army is coming from the north, a great nation of many kings. Ooh, the BRICS. Does this sound like it? Are being stirred up from the ends of the earth, and they are armed with bows and spears. They are cruel and without mercy. They sound like the roaring sea as they ride on their horses. And this, you know, we can think of it this term. When prophecy was given to Jeremiah, he wouldn't have seen nuclear weapons. He wouldn't have seen the technology that we've seen now, right? He's going to see it in the way his eyes would have seen it from that time. But the same idea, right? So you read the Bible with that understanding, right? The sound like a roaring sea as they ride their horses. They come like men in battle formation. They attack you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard reports about them, and his hands hang limp. Anguish is gripped him, pain like that of a woman in labor, like a lion coming up from Jordan thickets to a rich pasture land. I will chase Babylon from its land, and in an instant, who is the chosen one I will appoint for this? Who is like me, and who can challenge me? And what shepherd can stand against me? Therefore, hear what the Lord has planned against Babylon. What he has purposed against the land of the Babylonians. The young of the flock will be dragged away. He will completely destroy their pasture. Because of them, as the sound of Babylon's capture, the earth will tremble. Its cry will resound among the nations. Full stop. That is Jeremiah 50, folks. And you can read on from there. Even 51 gets real too. So read Jeremiah 50 and beyond. Read Ezekiel 7. It's pretty real, in my opinion. God has given us this understanding, guys, before it all happens. So you can straighten up and fly right. Because this is not a joke. And we're going to be looking at those things. And we said, oh, we thought the Bible was fake. And we're going to see it happening, guys. Every knee shall bow. That is just a fact. That's what the Bible says. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is, in fact, Lord. You look, we're seeing all these things happen in real life. And it's true. It's happening. We can't, like, deny it now, right? Ezekiel 7 is wild. I want to read it, but, like, I feel like I should hold it for the next podcast so we don't lose your attention span. But the end has come is the title of that. We'll save it for next time. But if you want to jump ahead and read it, and I'll come back and share with us the next podcast. But the world came to me, the Son of Man, and this is what the Sovereign Lord said to the land of Israel. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct. That is a message to Israel. And that is from Ezekiel. It's also prophecy. People, it's about to get real. And what's even more real is Jesus Christ is real. And he is coming. He lived. He took his cross. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He knew what his calling was. He was not happy about it when he had to do it. He said, Lord, will you take this cup from me? Meaning this cup of pain, this agony that I'm about to go through. But he shortly turned around and said, not my will, your will be done. And he took up his cross and he carried it. And he died because he knew this was going to happen for you. whoever's listening to this, he died for you so that you can be like, screw this sexual liberation and this freedom. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who created me to be one of a kind, one of one. Look at the snowflakes. They're all unique. Look at my fingerprint. All unique. Even if I have a triplet, my fingerprint is very unique, which means God took his time with me. And I'm going to follow him. And if he says that I need to follow his son Jesus, because his Jesus actually lived no matter what people say, and died for me so that he could be a sacrifice for my sins, as a literal atonement for my sins, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care what people say or how they blaspheme him. I'm going to follow that guy, because that guy is the littest of everybody. Because he didn't need to die for me in the future when I was going to blaspheme him and curse him and call him and say awful things about him. But he did it anyway, because he wanted to fulfill the call in his life. And he wanted to save people that would have otherwise been receiving internal damnation in hell for all these ratchet sins we have, because the devil's a liar. Pick up your cross right now and follow Jesus. I don't care what this world looks like. Sure, it looks scary. It's about to get way scarier. And what's even more scarier is if you're trying to live and to please yourself on this earth and get this money and just go underground and not realize that the easiest thing for you to do is to give your life to Jesus right now before it is too late, and not worry about all the stuff that's to come, because it's going to come whether you like it or not. This assimilation, my friends, will be all out war. Remember what I said, 2024 is a year of war, but it's also the year of open doors, and Jesus's doors are wide open to God. Look, at the end of the day, I want to be able to drink from the living waters. Jesus said, I am living water. It's about to get dry like a desert, according to Jeremiah 30, in a sense, right? Everything you need is going to be gone, dried up. Think of it this way. The living water is Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, he says you will not thirst. He is the manna. He is the bread of life. Eat this scripture up so you can have all the information you know. And get on the narrow path. Deny your flesh. Say, I don't care what it feels like, what it looks like. I'm not going to sin during these times. If it means I'm going to hell, I'm stopping myself from having all the pleasures of this earth. I'm stopping myself from following the sheep to the slaughter. Everybody's just falling after each other saying, oh, you can do this? Sure, I can do that. I'm going to do this. We can just do that. We'll do this. Stop doing what is wrong and making it right. If you can turn off your sin, your feeling of guilt, and make it and call it liberation and freedom, then you're lost. You feel guilty. That's why we have that conscience there. Feel it and say, I don't want to do this anymore. Turn your life to Jesus Christ. I don't need to push this down your throat. It's all good. I know what I believe and what I feel. I'm just trying to offer you the gift, the same gift that God offered me, through his son Jesus, the gift of salvation. And if I didn't, I wouldn't love you. Later.
WTF Landia Radio disclaimer. By assessing this podcast, I acknowledge that WTF Landia Radio makes no warranty, guarantee, or representation as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice unless specifically stated otherwise. The WTF Landia Radio Show does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, products, process, service, or organization presented or mentioned in this podcast, and information from this podcast should not be referenced in any way to imply such approval or endorsement. The third-party materials or contents of any third-party site referenced in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions, standards, or policies of WTF Landia Radio. WTF Landia Radio assumes no responsibility or liability for the accuracy or completeness of the content contained in third-party materials or on third-party sites referenced in this podcast, or the compliance with applicable laws such as materials and or links referenced herein. Moreover, WTFlandia makes no warranty that this podcast or the server that makes it available is free of viruses, worms, or other elements or codes that manifest contaminating or destructive properties. WTFlandia Radio expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, reliance on, or inability to use this podcast or the information presented in the podcast.